The New Testament Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. The structure of the book, Thankful Prayer, 1 through 11, Paul's missionary report, 1:12 through 26, God's call to be holy, 1:27 through 2:30, and now Doctrinal Polemics, 3:1 through 4:1, and later Joyful Partnership, 4:2 through 23. The outline for today's session under Doctrinal Polemics: On Being Right with God, verses 1 through 11, Rejoice, Beware, Be Done, Be Faithful, and next time, On Believing God's Call. Rejoice, verse 1. In conclusion, dear friends, keep rejoicing in knowing the Lord. To write these things to you is no bother for me, and it strengthens you. Well, keep on rejoicing, an iterative present tense. Make this a habit of life. Since it's not a bother, Paul does not hesitate to write things which he has written before. The Greek term to strengthen gives us the English word asphalt. RB Theme Ministries suggests a twofold status of the Christian believer: a permanent status. By baptism in the Holy Spirit, we enjoy an everlasting relationship in union with Christ. The believer shares in Christ's righteousness, everlasting life, sonship, heirship, royalty, priesthood, election, destiny, and sanctification. And then a temporary status: by faith in Christ, we walk in the light. If we occasionally commit a personal sin, finding ourselves walking in darkness, then we rebound through confession of sin and being filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. So beware. Verse 2, as they say, watch out for dogs, watch out for evildoers. Now I say, watch out for mutilators. In many societies today, one must continually watch out for dangers. Dogs are a real danger within towns, where they run around in packs. Evildoers are a constant danger outside of town, where they rob and kill. Mutilators, though, are a definite danger within churches, demanding conformity to Jewish traditions. So, we should be aware. Verse 3. This is because it is we who are the true circumcision, we who worship by God's Spirit, and who boast about Messiah Jesus. We have put no trust in our natural life or our religiosity. We are the true circumcision, making a distinction between spiritual Israel and national Israel. Yes, we worship by serving our God and boasting about Jesus. Our natural life, in Greek, literally, our flesh, that is, that part of us which is destined to die. But we do boast. Verse 4, of course, I myself could trust in my natural life. If anybody trusts in his natural life, I could do so more. Paul lists out several points of boasting. Verse 5, circumcised on the eighth day, very important in Judaism, born a Jew in Benjamin's tribe, a Hebrew by race, a Pharisee regarding God's law, and zealously persecuting Christians, until he became one. Yet he was blameless. Verse 6, in legal righteousness, I was blameless. Legal righteousness, that is, following Mosaic law requirements. Righteous, remember, basically means to be in conformity to standards. Blameless, implying exceptional merit, So discuss for a moment amongst yourselves, what did Old Testament believers have to do to be saved? We shall return to this. Be faithful. Verse 7, but whatever advantage these things were to me, I now consider all those things to be forfeit, loss, cancelled, because of Messiah. What were the real advantages of legal righteousness? There were several. However, we now consider, evaluate, believe those to be useless by comparison. We have forfeited them, yes, they were real, but we have abandoned them. Now consider for a moment the two covenants of Scripture. The first covenant, found in the Hebrew Bible. Under the first covenant, God offered everlasting life through the forgiveness of sins. Sacrificial blood cleansed the way into Yahweh's presence inside the tabernacle and inside the temple. The only requirement for everlasting life was to remain faithful to Yahweh, trying to show this by doing works of the law. Under the new covenant, God still offers us everlasting life through the forgiveness of sins, but now it is Jesus' blood which cleanses the way into Yahweh's presence in the heavenly places forever. The only real requirement to attain unto everlasting life is to remain faithful to Jesus and then try to show this by obeying his commandments. Verse 8, but in contrast, I consider all those things to be forfeit because of the superiority of knowing my Lord, Messiah Jesus. Now we consider them forfeit. We have made a determined choice, Christ over works. The superiority lies in Jesus' power, and we now know him experientially, being related to him as our Lord, the one whom we fear and obey. Because of him, I forfeit all those things, and I consider them to be worthless, so that I can take advantage of Messiah and to belong to him. Yeah, they're worthless. I consider them rubbish, loss. To take advantage is the verbal form of the noun advantage, and to belong to him, literally in Greek, to be found in him, that is, in union with him. I no longer hold to my own righteousness, which came from keeping the law. Instead, I hold to the righteousness which comes through Messiah's faithfulness, not my own. Some translations make the point that it was Jesus' faithfulness by which we are saved. The Greek literally says, faith of Messiah, the term also found in Galatians 2:16. Alternatively, others translate, through having faith in Messiah, as we saw earlier in 2:7-8. I no longer hold to my own righteousness, which came from keeping the law. Instead, I hold to the righteousness which comes through Messiah's faithfulness, which is righteousness from God for faithful people. Verse 10, this is how I know Messiah and experience God's power which raised him back to life. Righteousness from God. Alternatively, the righteousness which God gives. Faithful, literally, upon the basis of faith, and raised him back to life, literally, his resurrection. I also share in the advantages of what he suffered by or while suffering in the same way in which he died. Now we share, this is the term koinonia, to have in common. And in what ways did Messiah suffer, both before and during his death? In the same way, the Greek literally says, being morphed together with his death. 11. Since this is how I shall attain the resurrection which will bring dead people back to life. Since translates if with a verb in the indicative mode called the first class condition, which is assumed to be true. How, regarding manner, no necessary doubt here, the Greek term for resurrection, out-upstanding, or the out-resurrection from the dead, that is, the physically deceased. If you're meeting in a group, discuss together this query. What life principles can we draw from Paul's teaching and testimonial in this passage? What does it mean to worship by God's Spirit, to consider all those things to be forfeit? What is the righteousness from God by faith, and how to be conformed to his death? If you choose to continue with this course, then your assignment is to read chapter 3 this week and study carefully 3:12 through 4:1, and visit the site philippians.site. Oh, and try to memorize at least one verse.